Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This summer, whatever you're watching, baseball, golf, soccer, racing, DraftKings has you covered for every single moment of it. The DraftKings Sports app is now available in all 50 states, bringing the game straight to your fingertips wherever you are. New DraftKings customers, sign up with code KSR. Spend $5 to get 150 in rewards within 14 days. Includes all markets. That's code KSR. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut? Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus. Void in Canada. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Bet to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Trade to get prediction dollars that expire in 1 year. $50 in rewards issued every 7 days via click to claim for 14 days. One non-withdrawable reward redeemable. Terms at dkng.co/offer. Limited time offer.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The cameras were smashed. Not one camera, multiple cameras. Cameras positioned around the property of an 84-year-old woman who lives alone in the Arizona desert. And according to a law enforcement source speaking with journalist Ashley Banfield, whoever did this knows exactly where those cameras were. That's the detail that should stop you cold, because that's not random. That's not opportunity. That's someone who studied this home, someone who knew the layout, and someone who thought at around 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning, Nancy Guthrie would be a good target to kidnap. We're going to get into this. There's so many things happening with this case, so many updates that are occurring almost by the hour. We are recording this and putting it out pretty much immediately after recording because things are changing very, very rapidly. So as of right now, it is the 4th of February, 2026. It's the morning hours. This is where we are at as of right now. Now, I'm looking forward to getting your thoughts, your opinions in the comment section on our Substack or YouTube. The links are in the description. Let's get your thoughts there. We'll continue the conversation off the air. Let's continue with what we know as we begin our coverage on this heartbreaking story. Before we go any further, you need to understand who we're talking about. Nancy Guthrie is 84 years old. She's the mother of Savannah Guthrie, co-host of NBC's Today Show. She lives alone in the Catalina foothills, an affluent area just north of Tucson. She's lived in this home since 1992. This isn't some mansion her famous daughter bought her. Nancy raised her family here. Her husband, Charles, died of a heart attack at 49 when Savannah was just 16 years old. Nancy raised three kids on her own after that. Neighbors describe her as kind, engaged with the community, and always smiling. Here's what matters for this case. Nancy is mentally sharp. The sheriff called her sharp as a tack. This is not a dementia situation. This is not a confused elderly woman who wandered off, but she has severe mobility limitations. The sheriff said she couldn't walk 50 yards by herself. She requires daily medication that, according to the sheriff, could be fatal if she misses it. She has a pacemaker, cardiac issues, and high blood pressure. And the place where she lives, Catalina Foothills, it's not a gated community. The properties out there are 1 to 4 acres each, no streetlights. Brian Anton from News Nation has been doing some on-the-ground reporting. He's been reporting from the scene. Described it as pitch black at night. Houses set back from the road, separated by desert cactus. Even if neighbors have cameras, many of them don't reach the street. And the Mexican border is about 60 miles away. So what do we actually know about what happened? Saturday, January 31st, Nancy has dinner with her daughter, Annie. Annie drops her off at home between 9:30 and 9:45 p.m., gets her inside. Nancy goes to bed, no red flags, just, you know, a normal evening, as far as we know. And then comes Sunday, February 1st at around 2 a.m. According to law enforcement sources, Nancy's pacemaker stopped syncing with her Apple Watch. This is critical, so let me explain it. The pacemaker did not stop working. It lost its Bluetooth connections, basically, to the watch that syncs with it. That means Nancy was physically moved out of range of the Apple Watch. You get how that works, which was left inside the home. A law enforcement told Banfield that 2 a.m. is when investigators believe the kidnapping occurred. The sheriff was not officially confirming this time frame, but sources say that pacemaker disconnect is their time stamp. At around 11 a.m. on Sunday, a parishioner from Nancy's church called the family. Nancy didn't show up for the service. That is not like her. The family goes to the house, searches for about an hour, and calls 911 around noon. So the abduction window runs from roughly 9:45 p.m. Saturday to 2 a.m. Sunday, but investigators are reportedly zeroing in on that 2 a.m. moment is when she was taken. When law enforcement arrived at Nancy Guthrie's home, what they found painted a disturbing picture. There were signs of forced entry. That's been confirmed by sources to multiple outlets. Someone broke into this house. According to Banfield's law enforcement source, the back door was left wide open, not the front, the back. When Banfield asked the sheriff Monday night if Nancy was carried over the front door threshold, he told her, "I did not say the front door." So did the perpetrator come in through the back, leave through the back? We don't know yet. The sheriff has not officially confirmed which door was involved. See, there's a lot of chaos. This is, I know we're a few days into the story now, but even a few days in, things are still rapidly changing and adjusting, and stories are coming together and then trying to decipher what's fact, what's not. There's a lot. I've been waiting on doing anything on this story for a few days, specifically for that dust to settle, and it's still very much a dust storm of information and chaos, but here's where we're at. Multiple law enforcement sources have reported blood inside the house. When asked directly about blood evidence, Sheriff Nanos declined to confirm, saying, "I'm not saying there's blood inside that house or outside that house, but..." Banfield source confirmed blood was found inside. And there's blood outside, too, because Brian Anton, he was there. We saw it on camera. Brian's photographer walked up to the house on Tuesday. It's no longer a crime scene. It was released back to the family Monday evening, and he found visible blood on the ground near the doormat. Maybe you've seen the video at the front stoop, still visible, some red, some brown. But here's a critical detail. The blood does not continue to the driveway. It stops at the stoop. So, of course, that means everyone's going to analyze this and come to their conclusions. Retired FBI agent Maureen O'Connell analyzed Anton's video footage. She noted that the droplets are round, meaning they fell from directly above, not cast off from a struggle. Her conclusion, it leads me to think there is a chance she may have been carried out. No bloody footprints visible that reinforces the theory that she was carried, not walked or dragged. And then there are cameras. The sheriff confirmed that a camera at the front of the house is missing and under investigation. He would not say whether the perpetrator took it or whether it was removed before the incident. But Banfield's law enforcement source went further, claiming that multiple cameras were smashed and that police took the smashed cameras as evidence. Here's what that source said that matters. This is someone who knew where the cameras were, somebody who was familiar with the home, this premises, this woman. Police are reportedly frustrated, still waiting on the camera company to provide cloud footage more than 72 hours later. What was left behind? Her cell phone, her wallet, her car, her Apple Watch, her medications, her small dog. So the picture that emerges based on the reporting thus far is this. Someone knew this property. Who knew where the cameras were? Allegedly broken through the back, encountered Nancy, blood reported inside, and may have carried her out through the front, where blood at the stoop shows round droplets from above with no footprints. The blood stops where a vehicle would have been waiting, and the back door was allegedly left wide open. An 84-year-old woman who can't walk 50 yards on her own, taken in the middle of the night in pitch darkness by someone who apparently knew exactly what they were doing. And this is where the investigation reportedly takes a turn. Banfield's law enforcement sources posed a question that reframes everything. Who has the motive to kidnap an 84-year-old woman? Think about it for a second. An 84-year-old with mobility issues who needs daily medication to survive, that's not necessarily an easy target. That's a burden. As the source put it to Ashley Banfield, why would anyone take on that burden? In any case like this, investigators start with the people closest to the victim and work outward. That is standard procedure. It doesn't imply guilt. It's just how investigations work. Ed Smart, who was treated as a suspect for weeks after his daughter Elizabeth was kidnapped, it wasn't him. A stranger named Brian David Mitchell had taken Elizabeth, but the family is always looked at first. So as that's happening right now, understand this is how investigations work. It doesn't mean that because someone is talking or you see it being reported or someone happened to catch there's an interview with a family member that that's the person. That's not at all how that works. They're working from the inside out. Could it be? Yeah, anything is possible at this point. But take a beat. Take a breath. As you're seeing these things reported out there of this person is a suspect, that person. Based on what? And we will start to see in the coming days, based on this, based on that, based on this or the other. Maybe. Depending on who they're looking at, depending on what they're finding. And we may very soon get a better idea of what's going on here. But I am cautioning you. There's a lot of reporting going on about this. And a lot of people starting to point fingers. Be careful. It is very foggy out there right now. And there's a lot of chaos on this story. And everything's about as clear as mud. According to Banfield's reporting, that's exactly what's happening here right now. Her law enforcement source indicated that a vehicle belonging to Ann Guthrie, Nancy's daughter, Savannah's sister, and the last person to see Nancy alive, has been towed, impounded, and is now in evidence. FBI agents reportedly spent approximately 2 hours at Ann's home on Tuesday, and the source indicated that investigators are looking closely at a family member. Again, they are going to be looking, they're going to be digging, they're going to be asking any questions, especially of those who were around her last. Okay? We're going to be very careful in how we frame this because we don't know anything and we're not implying anything about anyone. Guilt or anything. This is just essentially the movements of the investigation as of right now. Because someone's being looked at does not mean they're guilty. It means standard procedure. The car being impounded is a notable development. And we will keep watching that, as we'll watch anything that comes out of this. The experts have been weighing in with their own theories about what happened, and they vary in their theories. Retired FBI agent Maureen O'Connell thinks it could be someone Nancy intersected with at some point, a grocery delivery person who comes inside, sees your layout, notices no man in the house, gets familiar with the routine. Retired Detective Chris McDonough agrees. He believes the abductor likely crossed paths with Nancy before, a gardener, delivery person, someone who knew she was 84 and living alone. Retired FBI agent Jeff Bennett raised another possibility, a burglary gone wrong. He said he sees it all the time in Los Angeles, burglaries that get interrupted, get out of hand, and turn it into something worse. He also mentioned mistaken identity. He recently testified in a murder case where the suspect literally Googled the wrong house. Others have raised the possibility that Nancy was targeted because of Savannah's fame, but O'Connell pushed back on that. She said she doesn't think anyone who would know Nancy was Savannah's mother unless someone who worked in or around the house told them. I think that's ignorant to think. No. I think a lot of people probably know. You know who her daughter is, right? People know. And then O'Connell said something that's hard to mistake. There's someone sitting in their house right now following this case that knows most everything about this case, but they're keeping their mouth shut because it's a family member. But their heartstrings are being pulled left and right. Another observation, another theory. That's the problem right now. There's a lot of theories, and they're just that. The minds of this person, the minds of that person. I got my own. It doesn't mean they're based on anything other than where my brain happened to take me at the moment I've been thinking about this. Chaos. It is chaos. There's also the ransom notes that we've heard of. TMZ reported receiving an email demanding millions in Bitcoin with a deadline and an or else threat. The note allegedly contained details about what Nancy was wearing and damage to the house. A local Tucson TV station reportedly received a similar note. The sheriff acknowledged awareness of the notes but would not confirm their legitimacy. Ashley Banfield's source doesn't believe they're real. That source thinks it's just troublemakers inserting themselves into the story. Retired FBI Jeff Bennett said once the case goes public, every lunatic who thinks it's funny to call in will. 99.9% of the time, he says those tips are worthless. I don't know if it's quite that number, but who knows? The authorities are looking at that, and what they're doing is they're going to be cross-referencing at this moment in time what's in the letter. Is there anything there that could be only knowledge to whoever did this? There's a lot of information that's coming out. It's easy to guess at things, so you have that as well. Again, chaos, chaos, chaos. So where does the investigation stand as of this moment in time? No suspects officially identified. Nancy is past the 72-hour mark, and her medication could be fatal if missed. It is a criminal investigation. The FBI is deeply involved, which is why information has slowed to a trickle. Behind the scenes, according to the FBI experts, search warrants are blanketing the area for all electronic evidence. They're comparing who was in the area the day of the crime versus who wasn't there the day before. They're chasing any vehicle on available video. They're layering geofence data from cell towers along potential escape routes. And it's not just phones anymore. Cars, watches, tablets, even smart vacuums ping cell towers now. The goal is to find the one device that appears at all relevant locations. On Tuesday, while Brian Anton was reporting live outside Nancy's house, a sheriff helicopter appeared overhead. It hovered for over an hour, very low, with men visibly looking down at the property and surrounding desert. A search and rescue truck showed up too. Either a tip came in or investigators felt they had left a stone unturned. The smashed cameras, according to Banfield's source, tell us something or someone knew this house. The reportedly open back door and blood on the front door suggest a path through the home. The 2 a.m. pacemaker disconnect gives investigators a window. The round blood droplets with no footprints suggest she may have been carried. And investigators are reportedly looking closely at those nearest to Nancy, which is standard. But the impounded vehicle is a development worth watching. Here's what we don't know. Why would someone take an 84-year-old woman who can barely walk, who needs medication to survive in the middle of the night? If this was about Savannah's fame, why? And why target her mom? Unless this is someone trying to send a message through a well-known person. What is that message? What could the goal be? Could there be foreign actors involved? Could this be a plot to create more divide in our country, depending on who it is that they find may be behind this? Everybody's got their theories, and they're based on grains of sand, including mine. There's a lot of questions and not a lot of answers right now. But it's important to ask those questions, and it's important to not go down the rabbit holes necessarily that lead absolutely nowhere. So I caution you, as you consume information about this, to be very, very careful. We will try and be very, very responsible here as we report on this and very clearly let you know when what we're talking about is pure speculation. Theory versus fact. Okay? If someone knew, the house, a worker, delivery person, somebody, what did they want? What was the end game? And if investigators are looking closely at family, is that just standard procedure, or do they know something we don't? Nancy Guthrie has been missing now for more than 72 hours. She's 84. She has not had her medication since Saturday night. Someone out there knows what happened. The question is whether they'll come forward before it's too late, if it isn't already. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube or our Substack. The links are in the description. I look forward to your thoughts on this heartbreaking and very much actively developing story. We'll continue our conversation there. All right. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Welcome back, everybody. This is obviously a case that is heartbreaking, is tragic, is crazy, has so many questions, has reporting that's over here, has reporting that's over there, has the family in the middle, has so many elements that are making everyone's head spin as we still don't know much of anything right now, as of this recording. That's what happens in cases like this. When you don't know, when there's a abundance of nothing, a lack of information, you get chaos. You get everybody trying to fill in the blanks where we don't necessarily know what exactly should be going in those blanks. So in the fog of war, in the fog of chaos, we're going to do our best to deliver to you here the latest on what we know, perspectives on the various reporting that's been going on. But at the end of the day, be the first to tell you, we don't know. Nobody does at this moment in time. All we know is that we want Nancy Guthrie to be returned alive, well, by whoever has her. She's an 84-year-old woman that disappeared from her home. And this isn't one of those cases where someone just wanders off in the night because they're old and confused. It's not on a hiking trail. It's not confusion or dementia or a misturn. Because when investigators arrived at Nancy Guthrie's home, they didn't find an empty house. They found blood. And then strangely, they walked away. There's so many weird things going on here. And weird doesn't necessarily mean nefarious either. It could just mean we're not used to investigations like this, and some of the things we end up doing may be looked back upon as incompetent. Or maybe there's a reason and a method to the madness. I don't know. Some of it just seems like bad police work. I could be wrong, though. I don't know. When you leave a crime scene and then it's close enough where Brian Enton can show up on the front door, or his photographer can, and literally walk up to the blood, walk in the blood if they wanted to. They didn't. I'm not saying they did, but I'm saying the fact that a human being other than a police officer was able to get that close to the crime scene, but you released it, so now it's okay, but now you're back. I don't know. There's a lot. There's a lot that doesn't make a lot of sense. Why? I don't know. And it could be simply that. Just bad calls being made. I don't know. We're going to go through what we know here. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube, if that's where you're watching us, or on our Substack. The link to our Substack is in the descriptions. It's free to join right now. There's no paywall. You'll get all of our reporting as we do it, usually a day in advance. This is we're releasing like pretty much the moment we make it because it's such an active story. Your thoughts, please weigh in. I'd love to get them because I mean, that's really everything we have right now is everybody's thoughts, opinions, everything. I don't know if we're all sitting here waiting for that information, that something to come in and go, that's it. That's what. I think in the back of our minds, that's what everybody feels they want in a situation like this where we don't have answers. But it's not an idea that's going to get us there. It's going to be solid information. It's going to be evidence. It's going to be something from whoever has her making themselves known, if in fact they're out there. And we don't even know if the people who have made themselves known, if they're the people who actually have Nancy Guthrie at this moment in time. So let's get back to the crime scene. They found blood and then they walked away and then they came back. The contradiction is where this story begins for me anyway, because nothing about what has happened since fits the pattern people expect when they hear the words missing elderly woman. This was never a put her picture on a flyer and hope for the best case. From the very beginning, law enforcement treated this as something else entirely, and the evidence left behind tells us why. Nancy Guthrie is an 84-year-old woman. She's a mother, a grandmother, a woman with deep routines and deep roots. She attends church. She lives with chronic pain. She relies on medication. She is not someone who walks off quietly into the night. She is not someone who disappears without leaving ripples. And what investigators found in her home were not ripples. They were disturbances. Blood at the entry area. Blood reported inside the home. A scene that immediately shifted from missing to taken. This was not law enforcement hedging. This was not media exaggerating. The house was treated as a crime scene for a reason. And then roughly 30 hours later, the crime scene was released. And this is where I feel it's probably a grave mistake. You don't release a crime scene with an active investigation. Like, it's like you found her and it's like, oh, you can go back home now. The scene, like I said, reporters, you're able to go right up, literally. If you wanted to, you could have scraped the blood up and taken it back to the studio. No one should be close enough to a crime scene with that is this close to of when it took place. Still active in terms of the crime itself. And a reporter is up there literally that, and I'm not faulting Brian. He's a great reporter or anything of that nature. I'm saying it's insane that they were allowed to get that close, that the scene was released the way it was. You don't know that you have everything in 1 or 2 days. Damn, if you watch Dateline once in your life, maybe. You just watch it when you make a learn the tips of don't release the crime scene that quickly. You never know what you don't know. And in an active crime scene around a house, there's a lot you don't know. And a lot that's going to get contaminated if you start letting people traipse around the place. I don't know. Police 101 from a fucking podcaster in Arkansas. Am I crazy? I don't know, that to me is just been like, what? Why is Brian walking around right here, right there? I mean, thank God he's there covering it. You got a great reporter on this, but this shouldn't be a story where we're already sitting here going and looking at the investigation saying, you did what? Here we are again. So that decision raised some eyebrows because releasing a scene doesn't mean nothing happened. It means investigators believed at that moment they had everything they needed. It means they thought the answers were somewhere else now. And then something changed because suddenly without warning, the activity returned. Crime scene tape went back up. Multiple agencies showed up. Canines arrived. Grid searches resumed. Officers moved in and out of the house. And attended narrow, particularly around attention was put particularly around the garage, I should say. It was because everybody started going, why was this? Oh, we better make it look like we're there. I mean, did somebody like go to lunch and then like, oh, shit, reporters got on the property. I mean, what's the story? What the hell is happening here? The stop-start rhythm is not normal. Quiet surge, yet quiet surge. You don't reopen a scene unless something new pulls you back or you failed the first time around. A new tip, a new data point, a contradiction in someone's story, a digital hit, something that changed the map. Law enforcement hasn't told us what it was, but they don't need to because behavior tells its own story. At the same time this renewed activity has been unfolding, another moment landed with force, the force of a punch. The public plea from Nancy's children. Savannah Guthrie, along with her siblings, released a video that was almost painful to watch. Not because it was dramatic, but because it was restrained, because it was careful, because every word mattered. They talked about who their mother is, about her kindness, her strength, her faith, her joy. They talked about her grandchildren, about how deeply she is loved. And then they did something very specific. They addressed whoever may have Nancy directly. They said they were ready to talk. But they asked for one thing first, proof of life. That phrase is not emotional, that is procedural. You don't ask for proof of life unless you're not sure who you're dealing with. You don't ask for proof of life unless you're concerned about manipulation, about hoaxes, about scams, about false narratives being injected into this situation. And in 2026, that concern is not paranoia. It is realism because, yes, there have been reports of ransom communications, reports that some media outlets receive messages referencing cryptocurrency, messages claiming knowledge of the crime scene, messages describing what Nancy may have been wearing. Law enforcement has acknowledged they are aware of those reports. They have not confirmed the authenticity of any of them. And that matters, because if this were a straightforward kidnapping for ransom, the timeline would look very different. Real extortion doesn't wait days to establish leverage, especially not when the victim is elderly, medication dependent, and medically fragile. Real kidnappers want to control early. They want pressure. They want certainty. This situation has none of it. I'm not saying it can't be that. I'm saying this situation has none of that. Could you have a kidnapper that's playing off a different script? Sure. It opens a lot of possibilities here, and none of them are comforting. One, the ransom communications are real, but disorganized, amateur, or intentionally delayed. Two, they're scams. Opportunists insecting themselves into a tragedy. Or three, they are deliberate misdirection, noise meant to obscure something else. Investigators are not saying which lane they believe this is in, and they shouldn't, because once you tip your hand publicly, you lose leverage privately. This is where frustration sets in for the public, because people hear law enforcement say no suspect, and they assume that means no focus, no direction, no theory. That's not how investigations work. So just know that the public-facing word of no suspect does not mean no scrutiny. It means no one has been publicly named. It means investigators are protecting the integrity of interviews. It means they are keeping people talking instead of lawyering up. It means they are preserving flexibility. We have seen this posture before. Cases where law enforcement publicly said no suspect while privately narrowing the field. That's not deception. It's strategy. What matters is not what they are saying to microphones. It matters is what they are doing on the ground. And what they're doing tells us this is a very active, evolving investigation. They didn't just walk away from Nancy Guthrie's home and forget about it, although it appears there may be an element of that. Not on the big picture, but in the don't let reporters get that close to blood sort of way. Like, are you all over here doing this? Well, yeah, this is going to be important too. You may need to go back to the scene. There may be information here you got to get at some point in time. I don't know why anyone has to explain this basic element of the investigation. I mean, if you're doing, like, I can't explain it. I'm going to stop trying. Can any investigator out there look at this and go and explain to me why it was a good thing that reporters were able to literally walk up to Nancy Guthrie's door within, like, what, 48 hours or so of all of this going down and film and just being there, walking around, getting your prints, basically contaminating the scene. Again, I am not trying to insult, or I'm not saying anything bad about the reporting that was done. The doors were open to it. No, the scene was not secure. And when you don't have a secured scene, when you have no one saying, okay, you know, we can't go over here. If you're reporting, you're going to do what you're going to do. You're going to go as close to the story as you can. That's your job. And you're going to trust that the people that are securing that scene have secured it the way that they feel comfortable securing it. It's unfortunate that in so many cases we end up looking back and we see this all too often, where the scene is released, it's not secured, it's people are able to get in and out, and then it's like, oh, whoops, maybe we should. Like, it's so elementary. At least to the general public, it is. I don't know why this keeps being a problem in cases. I just don't get it. Federal involvement has increased as well, not just generic support, but specialized units. Units skilled in digital forensics and communications tracing and kidnapping dynamics and understanding how modern extortion attempts actually work. This doesn't happen unless the stakes are high, and the stakes are high. because Nancy Guthrie is not just missing, she's vulnerable. She's without her medication. She lives in constant pain. Every hour that passes is not just misery, it's risk. She's 84. And when the internet spins theories and names names and demands instant answers, the reality is much quieter and much harder. A family is waiting. A house is silent. And somewhere, someone knows exactly what happened inside that home. Someone knows why the scene was released and why it was reopened. Someone knows why the focus shifted back to the garage. Someone knows whether the messages being sent out are real or cruel distractions. And until that person is confronted with evidence they cannot outrun, we're kind of stuck in this suspended, awful space between fear and hope. This isn't for entertainment. This isn't speculation fodder. This is not a puzzle box for armchair detectives. This is an 84-year-old woman whose children are begging, not for money, not for revenge, not for answers, but for proof that their mother is still alive. Where is Nancy Guthrie? Will she be found alive? What is going to happen next? There's a lot of information out there. I'm not going to go through every single piece of random reporting that everyone has been saying because there's so much. Some is founded, some is unfounded, some is rumor, some is this, some is that. It's been pushed back this way and that way on everything. But I'm curious, with as open of a canvas as we're sitting at right now with information, as to what your thoughts are. That's what I'm going to leave this piece with here. Not maybe it's this person. Not maybe it's that person. What the hell do you think's happening here? What is going on in this case? Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube or on our Substack. We're going to keep digging. We're going to start talking about more specific angles of this, but it is such a fog of war chaos moment that we are still in here. It is, honest to God, difficult to know what lane to go down. Because these are people. These are lives. This is someone's mother. This is daughters, brothers, sons, grandchildren, living a horrific nightmare. And God knows what is going on to Nancy, or has gone on. Your thoughts in the comments section. We'll continue our conversation there. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.